Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us at the Haunted Cafe. Grab a drink and a comfy chair, because we have a spooky tale to tell. But first, let's talk drinks. So today, we have a very special coffee, and this is Catfight Coffee. That's the brand. And I believe it's by a band member of the Misfits. I do not know exactly who, but it's AC Slade. He was part of The Misfits, Dope, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts. And it was also by his wife, too. And they both decided to start this coffee brand when COVID hit and kind of put every, you know, their careers on hold. So that's where this coffee comes from. And today we are going to be trying Crimson Roast. I believe it is a red velvet blend, and it's a medium to dark roast. And I think you can get this online. If I can, I'll leave a link in the description box below. But yeah, so I have tried to record this video pretty much 3 times. As you guys know, you've seen the TikTok video and the YouTube video I posted where the audio just kind of like messed up on me. Well, that same audio like recording somehow got wiped from my computer. Yay. So here I am recording once again. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, mess up on us and this will go smoothly. So today we are going to be talking about Resurrection Mary. I don't know if anyone outside of Illinois has heard this legend before, but it's super interesting and it may have some true origins. So let's get into it. I want you to picture this. Sicily, 1912. Not really. That's a Golden Girls reference, just in case you don't know. But anyway, picture this. You are driving along Archer Road in Justice, Illinois. It's nighttime, say 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It's raining, and the street is empty and dark. Maybe you are on your way home from a fun night out, or from visiting friends, and all you want to do is reach your destination. Suddenly, you are passing Resurrection Cemetery, a giant 400-acre cemetery that stretches for what seems like miles on end on one side of the road. On the other side of the road are commercial buildings spread out between vacant parking lots. Most, if not all, of the shops are closed, leaving you feeling completely and utterly alone. The rain is pouring down on your windshield, making it almost impossible to see. Suddenly, walking in front of you on the cemetery side of the road is what looks like a young woman, drenched from the rain, with blonde hair and a beautiful white dancing dress. You wonder why on earth this woman is out here so late in horrible weather, so you decide to pull over and give her a ride home. She gets in your car and tells you to keep driving. You try to make small talk, but she doesn't really seem interested. She just tells you where to go, and then suddenly, just when you were about to reach her destination, she disappears. Completely gone from your car. This, my friends, is Resurrection Mary. So that, yeah, like I said, that's pretty much Resurrection Mary's story. That's the legend, is that if you're driving along Archer Avenue, I believe, you might see a woman in white. You can try and take her to her home, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll make it there before she disappears. So now that you know a little bit about the experience with Resurrection Mary, you know, like kind of what happens and stuff, now let's talk about the legend. So the legend all starts with the O'Henry Ballroom, which is now known as the Willowbrook Ballroom in Willow Springs, Illinois. It actually looks like the building was just torn down because you could still see it on Google Maps, like the top view. But then when you go to street view, it's a huge construction site. Like it was demolished. So that to me kind of sucks because it was a piece of history no matter what. So I thought it would be kind of cool to talk a little bit about the ballroom itself, because it does play a huge role in Resurrection Mary's like story. So it was founded in 1921 by John Verderbar, an industrious Austrian immigrant. Verderbar was purchased 5 acres along Wooded Archer Avenue. He planned to build a peaceful weekend home, which isn't that nice. Like, I'm just gonna build a weekend home, not like, my first home. But yeah, at the time, ballrooms were considered like really popular, especially for young people. It was a place where they could hang out, meet new people, and potentially like date. Rudy, John's son, was one of those kids who loved to dance, so much so that he actually begged his father to open a dance hall instead of a vacation home. Eventually, his father agreed, and in 1921, John and Rudy built the outdoor dance pavilion. They called it the O'Henry Park. And basically, it was like this open, open air pavilion. This is in 1923, the open air pavilion was enlarged, and a new 10 cents a dance policy was implemented, which basically I was a little confused on, because it's like, is it like per actual like song, or is it just like 10 cents to get into the ballroom? It sounds like it was 10 cents to dance, which, I mean, nowadays it's not that expensive, but back then it was probably really expensive. But yeah. So the ballroom was supposedly named after the O. Henry Candy Bar, which was manufactured in Chicago by the Williamson Candy Company, who paid Vertibar for the naming rights. So like, I guess that they saw it as like more advertisement for them. So they're like, yeah, we'll let you name your ballroom after us, and we'll give you money for it. Which seems weird. Wouldn't it be the opposite? Like, I get that they're making money by letting him name his ballroom after them, but still, like, people buy copyright permissions, I guess is the word, all the time, but they're buying it from the company, not the company paying them to use it, you know? So, I got off track. But anyway, so at the time of that Mary's story takes place, the ballroom, which was just a simple pavilion, was very popular because people liked the idea of like dancing underneath the stars. It was romantic. Eventually, in like the 1940s, they closed it down for a little while and like added a AC to it, and I think like closed it off to make it an actual like indoor ballroom. The 1940s orchestras of Henry James, Les Brown, and Count Basie played the ballroom, and singers like Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, and Helen O'Connell graced the stage. Later, so did Wayne King, Guy Lombardo, Sammy Kaye, Jim Dorsey, Bob Crosby, Dick Juergens, Glenn Miller Orchestra, and Gene Krupa. Krupa. Sorry. But yeah, so like a lot of big, well-known names actually came to the Willowbrook, so it was definitely a popular place. So in 2016, a fire broke out and gutted the place. In 2019, a housing development bought the property and demoed it to eventually build townhomes, which, like I said, sucks because like townhomes are just taking over the world. Like, there's no reason to have so many townhome places. Like, there's abandoned houses and stuff all over. Like, instead of focusing on creating new townhomes, like, just revamp what we have here first. Because you're destroying history. I mean, I get that it was probably more expensive for them to redo the ballroom instead of just like destroying it and, starting from a clean slate, but it just sucks. especially if it is like a huge part of the Resurrection Mary like story. But So that's just a little bit about the ballroom. Like I said, it's where the legend starts for Mary. The legend goes that Mary was out for a night of fun and dancing with her boyfriend at the O. Henry Ballroom. At first, things seemed to be going okay between them, but towards the end of the night, the couple got into an argument, resulting in Mary walking home in the rain and in the signature white dress. Not blaming anyone, but the guy definitely should have, followed her home, or at least made sure that she was okay. A ride definitely would have been better, for the two of them. But at least making sure that she got home safe would have been, the best bet. And also, we can't necessarily blame him because he made, or I'm sorry, she made the decision to decide to just walk home in the rain in the pitch black dark. I'm not sure if phones were a thing at the ballroom, and I didn't know. I'm not sure if she would have been able to call someone to give her a ride home, but she could have maybe found someone at the ballroom to help her out or something, or she should have just. I mean, there's so many different scenarios that would have possibly saved her life. You know what I mean? That I mean, we can't blame anybody, but it just sucks that it happened, obviously. So as she's walking past Resurrection Cemetery, a car came up behind her. Not sure exactly what happened, but Mary was hit by the car. I'm not sure if it was the rain or just the darkness of the road. I'm not sure if there were street lights on back then. Or maybe we don't know if the driver was drunk or anything like that. Were they tired and kind of veered off the road? But either way, she was hit by the car and she was abandoned on Archer Avenue that night. She died alone. It's sad. The legend doesn't really say when she was found, and I don't really know how popular this road was to take back in the 1930s, but one can assume that it was probably a good amount of time before she was found. It might have been the next day or something like that. So that's why her spirit has returned. Maybe she's still looking for a safe ride home. Now, while Archer Road is supposedly the location of her death, Mary is known to haunt other locations. The first noted sighting of Mary was by a man named Jerry Paulus. In 1931, he was in the dance hall, in a dance hall, not necessarily the O. Henry Ballroom, but a different one. And at first, he was there by himself, just kind of looking for, a pretty girl to dance with. And that's when he stumbled across a beautiful woman from, standing across the room. He goes up to her and talks to her, and eventually, they hit it off and begin to dance. Supposedly, they even shared a kiss. As the couple was dancing, he said that he noticed that she had very cold hands. Once the hall closed, he offered her a ride home. She agreed and started to give him directions. He thought that it was a little weird, because they were going in a completely opposite direction than where she had said that she lived. I guess while they had been dancing and stuff like that, she told him, oh, I live at this such and such address. But now, when they're in the car, they're driving in the complete opposite direction. So eventually, they ended up on Archer Road. And as soon as they reached Resurrection Cemetery, she motioned for him to stop at the entrance. She got out and disappeared right in front of his eyes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is how you ghost a man. No, I'm just kidding. But of course, that freaked Jerry out and he rushed home. The next morning, he decided to do a little bit of research. He actually went to the address that the woman gave him that night and knocked on the door. An older lady answered, and he asked her about the younger woman he danced with that night. Turns out, she had been dead for 3 years. Yeah. And Jerry may have been one of the very first people to encounter Resurrection Mary. And he shouldn't, or I guess I should say he wouldn't be the last. Over the next couple of decades, countless men would end up at this address wondering about the lady in white. Can you imagine, like, being the people that live there? Like, it would be really sad if it was, like, her mom or dad or something like that that still lived there and, like, were constantly reminded of their daughter's death by these people. I'm not saying that it's, like, malicious intent, like, you know, these guys are trying to be evil or anything, but it's just, like, it would be very confusing to have these random strangers just constantly showing up at your house talking about your daughter, you know what I mean? And even if it's not the same family that lived there, like, if they moved or whatever and now it's new people, can you imagine, like, this ghost supposedly giving your address out to these random strangers? Like, that's messed up. Apparently, young men were not the only ones who were seeing Mary. In the 1970s, a cab driver saw a young woman standing in front of the Resurrection Cemetery. He pulled over to see if the woman needed a ride, but as soon as she walked up to the car, she disappeared. In 1979, a different cab driver named Ralph claimed to pick up a young female hitchhiker. He said that she was now older than 21. I'm not sure where he picked her up from, but they were once again driving down Archer Avenue, and the woman asked him to stop and pull over. She kept pointing to an abandoned shack. I think it's kind of near the cemetery. At this point, he thinks that she's crazy, because why would anyone want to go to that place? But without even opening the door or saying anything else to him, the woman disappeared right in front of his eyes and right from his front seat. Eventually, his encounter was written in the 1979 issue of Suburban Trip magazine. So in 1980, a husband and wife were driving down Archer Avenue towards Resurrection Cemetery when they spotted a young woman in a white gown slowly walking down the side of the road. They automatically noticed that she was partially transparent with a white aura around her, almost as if she was glowing. Shocked, the couple wondered if they had just seen a ghost. Believing that it could have been the infamous Resurrection Mary, they did a U-turn to confirm what they had just seen. When they once again reached the spot where Mary was walking, she was gone. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not saying that this story isn't true. It just sounds like they kind of already knew about Mary, and, like, maybe they were expecting or hoping to see something. Maybe they did see something, but it might not have been Mary. Like, maybe it was just, like, a woman walking down the road. No one knows, you know. So now that we know, like, the story and the legend, now we're going to talk about probably the moment that everyone is waiting for. Is it possible? Is Mary real? Well, she may be. Of course, when you have a famous ghost story, you're going to get a bunch of paranormal investigators that are going to dig up as much info about the case as possible. Dig up in, like, you know, in the sense of, like, trying to figure out if it's plausible, you know? So it is known that Mary is supposedly buried in Resurrection Cemetery, so they decided to dig through the graves, obviously not literally, to try and find someone who correlates with the supposed time that Mary died. The first person that they looked at was a woman named Mary Bergovi. It is said that she was supposedly killed in a car accident on her way home from the O. Henry Ballroom, just like Resurrection Mary. But there was an article in the Chicago Tribune on March 11, 1934 about Mary Bergovi's accident. Here's what it said. Girl killed in crash. Miss Mary Bergovi, 21 years old, was killed last night when the auto in which she was riding cracked up at Street and Wacker Drive. John Riker, 23, suffered a possible skull fracture and is in the county hospital. John Thwell, 25, driver of the car, and Miss Virginia Roskin, Anski, 22, were shaken up and scratched. The scene of the accident is known to police as a dangerous spot. So basically what the article is saying is that this particular Mary was not on Archer Avenue or anywhere near it when she died. It's also saying that she was in the car at the time of the accident, not walking on the side of the road. This doesn't mean that this necessarily isn't the Mary, but it just more so means that the legend might have possibly got twisted and, you know, reshaped throughout the years. There is another person that is believed to be Mary, and it is a woman named Anna Majari. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Norcus. It is said that she died in a car accident in 1927 on her way home from the O. Henry Ballroom. But the article I found, dated July 21st, 1927, from the Chicago Tribune, doesn't agree. It says, the dead girl is Anna Norcus, 12 years old. She was crushed under the car. The injured are William Wasnor, 32 years old. Loretta, 14 years old. Adam Lipskin, 58 years old. August Norcus, 42 years old, and Sophie Norcus, 16 years old. This death and two others raised the 1927 county auto toll to 510. So I think that means that like 510 people died. But anyway, in this article, it sounds like Anna was riding in the car with her family when they somehow ended up overturned in a ditch. I will say that at the end of the article I read on Chicagoology.com, it does say that her family were on the way home from the O. Henry Ballroom and that this accident happened at 1:30 in the morning, but I'm not sure if this is true or not because it was kind of an added detail on that website. It wasn't something that I found in any reports. So what's really weird is that the death certificate for Anna says that she was supposed to be buried at St. Casimir Cemetery, but at the time that she died, the grave diggers were on a strike, so they stored her body and like other people's bodies in temporary graves at Resurrection Cemetery. It is possible that it took so long for the strike to finish that Anna's body decomposed, at the cemetery and that the grave diggers may have misplaced her or they kind of weren't able to dig her back up to put her in her proper burial spot. So it is possible that she still could be at Resurrection Cemetery. That could be the reason why she haunts the area, is because she knows that she's not supposed to be there, is that she's supposed to be at St. Casimir. It may be possible that while the crash itself wasn't on Archer Avenue or near the cemetery at all, her body still ended up there. To me, I think that this is probably why, maybe, possibly, she is still haunting the area, and that's because that her body wasn't properly put to rest. I'm not entirely sure if this is Mary, because there are obviously like a few details with the legend that don't correlate. The location of the crash was not on Archer Avenue or really anywhere near Resurrection Cemetery. I think it was about 10 or 15 minutes away. It's not too far, but it doesn't align with what the legend says. I know over time the legend can change, you know, by mouth to mouth or telephone, you know, playing telephone. So it's possible that this is the same girl. And, you know, we also talked about the fact that her body might not be in the right place. Maybe that's why she's haunting it. Also, she was in the car when she died. She was not walking home from a night out. She was in the car with her family. Once again, the legend can change to sound more dramatic, even though a 12-year-old dying in the car accident is tragic enough. And then that kind of also leads to another thing, is that she was 12. She wasn't this young young adult that was like trying to find a suitor or anything like that, you know, going to the dance halls by herself looking for dances, or going with her boyfriend, you know, trying to dance by themselves. You know, she was going to, if the story is true, she was going to the ballroom with her family, or coming home from the ballroom with her family. So that part of the story just doesn't correlate. But either way that we look at it, there supposedly is a ghost named Mary who haunts near this Resurrection Cemetery. Is it possible that it is Mary, the second Mary, who is just, you know, upset that her body is not buried in the right spot? To finish off the tale of Resurrection Mary, I wanted to talk about a few stories that occur inside of the graveyard. So the cemetery has like a metal fence around it, to, you know, to keep noisy people out and to keep the undead in. Haha. Well, for the longest time, the gate of the cemetery had two metal bars that were broken. They were bent outward as if someone or something was trying to break out of the cemetery. It is also said that there were burned handprints in the metal, which to paranormal investigators just proved that there was something paranormal. I posted those on, you know, our social media, so if you want to see a picture of that, you can. Just go follow us on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. But according to cemetery officials, they said that the damage to the front gate was actually caused by a truck crashing into it. The workers tried to heat the metal up to kind of pull it back into place. And the handprints everyone sees are actually from those workers' gloves. Which I can definitely see happening because metal gates are expensive to buy and probably even more expensive to fix. So the, you know, the cemetery owner or whatever was like, all right, well, we'll just try and see if we can fix it first before trying to replace it. And another thing that is mentioned a lot is ghostly apparitions lurking around inside the cemetery. It doesn't really seem like the cemetery itself has any spooky ghost stories or anything like that. It sounds like everything that's haunted with the cemetery is tied to Mary. I will say that I might have an explanation for the ghostly apparitions. According to cemetery officials, they have had people actually locked inside the cemetery after closing. They said that although they do like checks around the grounds, the property is 400 acres. It's huge. There's no way that they could possibly catch every single person in the graveyard all the time. So it's kind of possible and understandable that sometimes people are missed, and that's why they're locked into the cemetery. And maybe that's why people see random, like, apparitions wandering the grounds because they're locked in. That also could explain the truck crashing into the gate. Maybe someone was super impatient because they got locked in, so they're like, oh, we're gonna run this gate over, and you know, who cares about damage? So that could be a possibility too. But yeah, so what do we think? Do we think Mary was a real person? Do we think that, you know, there is a ghost passenger that wears a nice, beautiful white dress and just kind of like, you know, comes to get a ride home from the ballroom? I kind of do. I think that it is Mary Anna. Mary Anna, whatever you want to call her. I think she was upset that maybe she wasn't properly buried in the right spot. So she maybe spends her evenings trying to get rides. You know, who knows? Maybe she. I mean, because some of them, she's coming home from like a ballroom, so maybe she knows that she's just like stuck here no matter how hard she tries to get away from Resurrection Cemetery. And I think maybe like the differences in the stories, like real life versus what the legend is now, could just be like a huge case of telephone. One person tells a story, and then the next person like adds their own spice to it, and then the next one adds more spice, you know, so on and so forth. And now we end up with the legend of Resurrection Mary, you know, as it is now. Let me know your opinion. Do you think it's either one of these two women that tragically lost their lives in car accidents near Resurrection Cemetery? Do you think that the story is even true at all? And yeah. So let me know what you guys think of this episode. Sorry it's so late. I've had to process it and edit it like 20 times. but yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and get ready for our Halloween slumber party, because that is coming out on Friday, I think the 27th, so get ready for that. That's going to be so much fun. You guys are getting 5 episodes, one right after the other, up until Halloween, where I am talking about horror rituals that you should do or shouldn't do on Halloween. So yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you in the next one. Catch you later.